John and Femi.
Thank you, Mark Garrison. Mark is sitting in the studio doing a newscast. I'm doing a radio show. Femi Oke is next to me here in the studio. Scott Lamb is across from me here in the studio. What are we doing this morning? Well, we are finding out about the virtual community called the Takeaway Listeners and Staff. And we've been asking you at 877-8-MY-TAKE to call in and tell us exactly what you're doing. Where are you? Are you in the bedroom, the bathroom, in the car, in the workplace, in the kitchen?
Hello, my name is Keith Heron in Manhattan. I'm in my car driving around looking for a parking place.
I'm Michael calling from Bloomfield, New Jersey. I'm in my kitchen getting ready for my day.
Hi, my name is Gail, and I'm in the bathroom.
So who's more responsive, kitchen, bathroom, or car, folks? The data is available to us all of a sudden because you're calling in, you're updating your status. Scott Lamb, senior editor at BuzzFeed. First of all, thanks for joining us.
I'm happy to be here.
Thanks for participating in our experiment by calling in this morning. But what we're trying to do here is emulate a system that exists, or a number of systems that exist, like Twitter and one called Foursquare that we're going to talk about in a moment, where communities of individuals can monitor each other in terms of where they are and what they are doing based on very simple gestures on a cell phone.
Yeah, it's a great way of getting to know a community of people that you wouldn't really know what they're up to otherwise.
Now, if you're on Facebook, everybody knows what social networking is all about because of Facebook and MySpace. If you're on your Facebook page, that's pretty much what you're doing. You're on your Facebook page. The advantage with cell phone applications is that you can actually be doing something when you tell people what you're doing, other than just, I'm sitting here in front of my computer, right?
There's that. There's also, I mean, you do have to be somewhere out in the world to check in with these services. They use some combination of GPS or cell phone towers to locate you. So you have to be somewhere. You have to be doing something. And it's kind of nice that there's that built-in aspect to it.
All right. So everyone, of course, is shrieking, you know, so what is the point of this? What is the point of having a community where you check in? What does it begin to constitute as you see it online and also in the decisions that you make in your own life?
I think there's two things going on. I mean, one, there's a nice game aspect to it, which we can certainly talk about. But there's also, you get a sense of someone's day, what their life is actually like, a lot more vividly by seeing what they're doing than what they're talking about, what they're going to do, or how they describe what they might be thinking about. It's a different picture of a person.
And is this something that would give you ideas about what you might do? Or, hey, my friends are over here at this location. I think I'll go join them.
You can meet up with people. You can share tips. I mean, if you're at a bar and you're like, wow, I just had this great drink that only this bar has, you can actually add that into the system. And the next time a friend goes there, they can order the same thing. You can kind of pass on tips like that.
Now, you know, people, word of mouth is a very powerful tool. But as this scales up, how does it not just become marketing, where basically everybody on there is going to be some sort of marketing rep sitting in a bar going, all right, let's get this drink out because we want to, you know, promote this rum or something?
I mean, there's always the potential for that sort of abuse with systems like this. I think that they're kind of self-regulating, though. People get very irritated by that sort of thing. And I think as we find ourselves using things like Twitter and Facebook more often, I think people's sensitivity to that sort of use is going to really be heightened. I think a marketer would really be facing a backlash if they were going to try something like that, I think.
Scott Lamb, how has Twitter changed the game of social networking?
It's certainly lowered the bar, I think, for interaction. I mean, the amount of work that you have to do to kind of interact with someone on Twitter is very low. I mean, there's really no rules. You can just say one word and that can be a tweet. So I think it's made it a lot easier for people to figure out how to interact with one another in a social networking space.
You know, I like Twitter. A tweet, I think, is creepy. Facebook, I think, is creepy. Femi, help me here, because I've always thought Facebook was a little like, it's too much information. I don't want to know. But Twitter actually works for me. It seems intuitive.
The thing about Facebook, and because the team have been harassing me for the last year about getting a Facebook page, is I just feel like it's a little bit like stalking. But you can link into a friend's Facebook, and then you can link into theirs and theirs and theirs and theirs, and then you've got a whole, well, this is the good thing if you want it, you've got a whole community out there that you can actually dip into. But I actually linked up with Scott to be a friend yesterday, and he messaged me about 8 times, and he's at Freddy's, and then he's gone back to Freddy's, and he's at WNYC radio just a few moments ago. So is there a limit to how much information you can actually take on board at one time, Scott?
I think there definitely is. I mean, I imagine for you, since we have only just now met, that was kind of creepy to know that I was going out to bars in Brooklyn last night. I think that there is. I think people do need to be a little bit careful about how quickly they kind of expand their circle of friends. And you really, it depends on your level of comfort with the information that you're sharing and with what you want to take in. You need to kind of watch that.
Now, there are these sort of sexually based communities where there are very intense drivers of people joining and that sort of thing, and has had, you know, really dire consequences that have already made it into the news. In this particular case, Foursquare, the application we're talking about today, and Twitter to a certain extent, people sort of monitor what they're doing, and they give each other awards and badges. And explain how checking in a lot or shouting out to your friends can actually increase your status in the community.
They've added this nice game feature to it. So every time you check in, you get a certain number of points. And there are behaviors that you might not know about that unlock these badges. So, you know, if you go above 59th Street, I think you can, and check in Manhattan, you can get a badge that basically says you're like a real traveler. You've gone above and beyond the call of duty to go and explore some new part of the city. So there's a nice feedback loop. There's also, you can become a mayor of a place. I think Jim Colgan is actually mayor of WNYC.
He's one of our producers.
And he if you check in a number of times at the same location, you can get awarded this mayoral status, which is kind of cool.
You have got a ton of badges. Does that make you a high user? Does it make you a geek? Would you be the equivalent of like a girl guide with a ton of badges up your sleeve? Would you define yourself, Scott?
I think I'm definitely a geek. You know, and since professionally,
it's so banal. Geek is so like last decade, you know.
Excuse me, geek.
Yeah, right. here on our site, though, I mean, our listeners are suddenly identifying themselves, and our top locations for takeaway listeners are car, gym, coffee, bed, bathroom, parking, lunches, on the train, driving, and listening to the takeaway. So we don't have the order on that, but suddenly, if you know about your community, it's sort of intriguing. It's kind of intuitively intriguing in some way. Why?
I mean, it's difficult to pin down what that is. I felt the same thing with Twitter when I was trying to explain people how Twitter is or what it is that people use it for. There's just something inherently intriguing about it. You kind of want to know these things about people.
Well, it's an engine for word of mouth, and it's very, very real, and you can see it on Foursquare, the application that I have on my iPhone. Twitter is actually a way of doing this as well. Scott Lamb, thanks for helping us. Senior editor at BuzzFeed here in our studio. I guess you're going to have to update now.
I'll do a new check-in. Thanks so much.
Femi?
Thanks, John. So as you've been hearing, we're doing a little bit of an experiment today on the takeaway, and we want you to help us out. What's the point? Well, we tell you a little bit later, but first we need you to do just one simple thing. All you have to do is tell us where you are. It can be mundane or insane.
My name is Cindy O'Dell. I'm calling from my kitchen in Randolph, New Jersey. As I make my breakfast before I go to school, I was a sixth grade school teacher.
Yeah, hi, my name's Marie. I'm in the car driving to work in Far Rockaway, and my schedule just changed last Wednesday, so I'm a brand new listener to this program and enjoying it very much. Thanks.
That's great.
Thank you very much. 1-877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org is the way that you can email us. And here is your takeaway.
This is America's tournament. That's the key thing. $600 million, CBS is making $1 million per ad, so it's almost bigger than the Super Bowl.
That's Ibrahim Abdul-Martin, the Takeaway sports blogger, talking about the men and women's Final Four. I'm Femi Okeh.
I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.